two other people.
So we start. Okay, there is your question on 22, huh?
Who has a question on 22?
Your neighbor.
22.
Left side.
Well, you want to read the... Go for it. I'm not ready yet.
Okay.
Oh, okay, great.
I'll read them. Okay, so paragraph 22. It is constantly declared by others who should know better that fear, doubt, anger, and ambition combined with desire and greed block your true inner life. Don't you believe it? For when you fear, doubt, anger, and ambition, including your desires and longing for power, do occur, that is your inner life, not your outer world. So the question...
Come on, just keep this for the question.
Okay. maybe I don't have the question.
Yeah, you do. You want to know what the inner world means.
Well, I think I just read it.
What you think of.
Yeah.
It's the world of your planning and thinking and all that inner talking to yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it.
Okay. Passage 23. Primarily, when we speak of you, we're not speaking of the body that surrounds you. That is part of your outer life and world, which indicates that pain and sickness and all afflictions of the body are around you, not within you. Any questions on that? Passage 24. Yo, what?
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Passage 24. Because of all the mindless beliefs and teachings of others, you are trying desperately to live an inner eternal self instead of an outer eternal self. Your eternal self is not within you. It is all around you. Don't listen to those who tell you otherwise. Look outside of yourself. Look all around. Okay, Raj, you know what? This is one of those things that I know we've been talking for a long time. Well, you've said for a long time, but I don't understand the basis of that. That the eternal self is all around you. Mm-hmm. How, what?
Is your body all around you?
It sure is, yeah.
So why can't your eternal self be all around you?
Oh, actually, I'm not saying that it can't. Fact is, it's interesting that, yeah, I never found it looking in.
In the same way that your body is all around you.
Okay.
Your eternal world is all around you. So you have to look out.
Oh, I see.
Outward, not inward.
Okay. How interesting. Okay, I like that. I like that reasoning. Thank you. 25. Love and compassion is all around you. The chaos and disturbance you see and feel all around you is your own discontent, and neglect of yourself as an eternal being is the source of your discontent. I'm starting to understand what you're saying with this here.
About time.
I mean, this. What a great pronoun. I mean, this, he started off with, you know, Jennifer's thing of what is all this 620 pages about. That it's the, you know, you're living the personal self, not the eternal self. It's the source of all your discontent. Now I'm starting to get some of that. That's really interesting. Discontent is a state of being, not an emotion or feeling. Okay, great. I say emotions make you stupid. I'll stand by that. So
emotions make us stupid.
That's been a thing I picked up the last couple of years. Yeah, I think emotions make us stupid. But a state of...
You remember with that go a lot?
What was that?
Would you go with that?
We talk about that, yeah. We do. We talk about that.
What'd she say?
She thinks about it. I mean, I think I don't think I haven't heard any disagreement about it. You know, we kind of talk about that, yeah. So, no objection. I usually know when there's an objection.
You afraid of talking the light?
No. I'm only using it for the questions. The conversation. I don't think I want to be in the mic.
You don't want to be that loud.
I just think everybody else is talking in normal tone. It would be a little overpowering. Maybe it feels better, though. Maybe it appears better, yeah.
We also can hear.
Well, if you can't hear, I'm happy to talk about it, yeah.
Next passage?
You didn't read the first one, 25. Well, you didn't read it all the way through. Stop at the first discontent.
I did. Discontent is a state of being, not an emotion or feeling. Where did I get to?
There, you finally finished that.
Oh, okay. 26. Physical existence and life... Wait, physical existence is life and reality. And since physical existence is the only reality, spiritual is existence without life or reality. I like that. Existence, physical existence is the only reality. Okay. 27. Life is not fleeting, nor is it continuous. Life recurs. Life is empty and meaningless in oneness, in eternity, in immortality, and even in spirit.
Can I go back to the previous one?
26.
Since physical existence is the only reality, and I know we've talked about this before, but I want to revisit the disembodied. Where was it? The disembodied thing.
I think it was on 14.
14? Where did it say disembodied?
Pat, can you do a word search in that thing real quick? Control F, disembodied.
It was just very recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll come right up if it's in there.
Oh, the unembodied.
Oh, there you go.
Number 9. The unembodied self you sense but do not know is your eternal abiding self. And then...
Oh, that makes sense then.
Since physical existence is the only reality, but the unembodied self is physical?
Exist without life or reality. So your life is making that eternal self real.
Uh-huh.
What if? What if that's what Roger really meant when he wrote that?
So number 9 and number 26. The unembodied self we were sensing and the physical existence is the only reality. I just kind of want to put those two together. So, Roger, is the unembodied self only real when it's in a body? And when it's not in a body, it isn't reality?
No.
Would you like to elaborate on that a little bit?
Would you say, I understand. Would you please do it even though you don't want to?
Real is determined by physical. So obviously if it's unembodied, it's not physical.
Right.
It's not formed.
Right.
Unformed, it is not real.
Gotcha. So by living my life, living my eternal self, I'm giving it life and reality.
Right, you're forming it and giving it life and reality.
See, that's a hell of an awesome purpose. Your life is bringing life to your eternal self, creating it and making it real in the world. Because everybody else thinks it really exists in the real reality.
Outside
and this is just a temporary fall from grace. But that's not. This is saying this is the channel through which that can become alive and real in the universe.
Right.
Have existence.
Right.
Give it form.
Right. That's interesting. I like that. That makes more sense of why we're here than any of the other purposes I'd heard.
And
if you want to call it why. What we're doing here. How's that?
Tends to make me want to give the body a little bit more respect, right? Like,
I mean, it does me, I think so. It's really the, without this body, you can't bring your eternal self to life.
Mm-hmm.
It is the means and the way and the life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus said. I am the
what? Something, the way, and light.
The way, the truth, the way, and the light.
The embodied.
Why do I know that? Yes, Karen, why do you know that? I'm so religious.
And that was the way, perfect way to end the tape. Thank you, Karen.
No one really knows what
Jesus said, but that's just something in our cultural lexicon. It's so an idea that's floating around there. May not have been him.
He's been credited with saying things that accommodate what they wanted it to be.
Yeah. I agree with that. Do you know they actually think that there was it that guy?
Jesus?
Yeah, I was going to say, they actually think that there, well, was it Parmenides? Is that not Parmenides. Who's got Pythagoras? He did all that interesting mathematical stuff and supposedly lived hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. They actually think he was like at least five guys.
Oh, really?
Who continued living that same character. I think that's interesting. So maybe Jesus is like a conglomerate.
Like King Arthur.
Yeah.
I tend to think so.
Because I know for sure he's not the only Jesus myth that are out there. There's several of them. It's almost embarrassing how many there are. Mm-hmm. We never knew that. Yeah. Yeah. Bacchus, Dionysus. Several of them. I could give you the names. I put them on Facebook from time to time. Just to upset my relatives. Every Easter or every Christmas.
Okay, I'm 28 here.
27.
No, I'm on 28. You want to go back and read 27? We can do that.
Life is not fleeting.
Go back to 27. Yeah, life is not fleeting, nor... No, we did read this. Life is not fleeting, nor is it continuous. Life recurs. Life is empty and meaningless in oneness, in eternity and immortality, and even in spirit. I guess I don't really get why life is meaningless in eternity and in immortality.
Because it has no body, no form.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, yeah, that's what those are. Okay. And yet those are our ideal states that we always talk about. We want to be immortal.
But that's crazy stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous. Right on. I like that. The aim, 28, past 28. The aim and promise of eternal life is to help you create and communion. Oh, I keep doing that. Thank you, Sharon. The aim and promise of emergent life is to help you create and communion with your eternal self and guide you in knowing and experiencing your continuing in life today.
You didn't read the rest of 27.
Sure did.
Read the whole thing of 27.
27. Life is not fleeting, nor is it continuous. Life recurs. Life is empty and meaningless in oneness, in eternity, in immortality, and even in spirit. That's it. Passage 27, page 41. Yeah, that's it. But I'll take anything else you have to add for it.
Maybe it was 28 is finished.
28. The aim and promise of emergent life is to help you create and communion with your eternal self and guide you in knowing and experiencing your continuing in life today. Passage 29. For too long, self has been considered selfish, controlling, and egotistical, narcissistic, greedy, longing for power and recognition. Where is Anne today? She would like that one. Oh, well. The self of emergent life is your eternal self, the essence and ultimate nature of you that provides access to the knowledge and memory of the universe. So this unembodied self, which we were talking about earlier, which has no reality, is the self of your emergent life, the eternal self, the essence and ultimate nature of you that provides access to knowledge and memory of the universe.
Yeah.
So, Roger, even though it has no reality, physical realities we're talking about above there, it's still the ultimate nature.
It what?
In 26, we said physical existence is life and reality, and since physical existence is the only reality, spiritual is existence without life or reality. So we said the eternal self is not embodied. Wait, did we say that? Oh, no, I'm confusing that. Scratch everything I just said.
Unembodied.
Said something else. The unembodied self you sense. We didn't say that. What is that?
Is your eternal abiding self.
And then that eternal abiding self...
Isn't real
is
unless
your,
it's in a body.
Isn't real unless it's in a body. And then here it says, your eternal self, the essence and ultimate nature of you that provides access to the knowledge and memory of the universe.
But only if you're in a body.
I was questioning more the use of the word ultimate nature of you. It just sounds not the base nature of you, but the ultimate nature of you.
What would be the difference between the two?
If it's not alive or real without a body, then maybe that's the base existence of you. But I would have taken that the physical embodiment of you would be your more ultimate. The enlivenment of that internal self in life today would be more your ultimate. I'm just thinking that. I don't know that. I'm not saying that so.
So the self in this instance seems to be that the assumption is that it's already embodied.
I'd go with the essence of you. I just was questioning more. I think to surprise me was the ultimate nature of you.
And if since we live the embodied eternal self and make it what it is, that it will be the ultimate nature of us.
All right. I just wanted an understanding on that. Yeah. I could understand that. All right. Interesting.
Say that again.
Okay, yeah, please.
Yeah, well since that once an eternal self is embodied, then it relies entirely on us living and expressing it, and so therefore it becomes the ultimate expression.
Okay. That I could understand. You want to do
and even if the ultimate expression is I'm a hypochondriac victim to everything, that's the ultimate expression.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah, I can understand that too. You have any course correction on what we said, Roger? Or are we okay?
No, you're bitching it up just fine.
Well, let's unbitch it then. You're the unbitcher, so let's unbitch it. How are we
the
bitching it up?
Unbitcher.
Mm-hmm. What part?
Ultimate nature.
What about the ultimate nature?
If the unembodied self of nine is the self, the eternal self you sense, and it has no physical form, how is that the ultimate nature of you? I take ultimate meaning the highest nature of you.
Maybe, why not?
If my life is to give physical form to my eternal self, and that's what it's about, then I was just, the way I followed that was then that the base nature is not the ultimate. It's the physical expressed in reality would be the ultimate nature of the eternal self in a physical form. If everybody else has got that, I mean, I don't mean to take your evening off course.
To think, in my thinking, to be base, that says then that when Andrew Lawrence first came alive, embodied was an eternal self.
Okay.
And at that point, maybe you can say, well, that's the base nature. But as soon as you started actioning, you are building and creating the eternal self. And as life goes along, your life goes along, everything that you do in life is expressing the eternal self.
Mm-hmm.
And at any point in time, if you care to look at it, is the ultimate.
Are you still on 29? What are you on?
29. Trying to fit. Andrew is wondering about the term ultimate nature.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't have a problem. Andrew wonders whether or not it should be base nature. Not should be.
People tend to strive for their ultimate self. I was just curious.
So,
what would be more?
Oh, I know. I'm just saying they do. So.
But for you, what would be more ultimate?
Huh? If you guys are going to talk, you have to talk louder.
Okay.
Especially you, I can only hear.
Really? Okay. Well, Andrew was wondering that in his view that perhaps the essence and base nature would be fitting, and he wonders what you mean by ultimate nature in passage 29's second last line.
Just what it says.
Okay.
Ultimate nature, you don't like that.
What?
It says ultimate nature, you don't like that.
I just don't understand it. If the eternal self is the unembodied, and passage 25 says, was it 26, that physical existence is the ultimate reality, and this self you sense has no physical reality, so it's not got physical life and
it's
existence.
It's the essence and ultimate nature of you.
Okay.
It's the concept of you. Same way as I told you before. Your loner self is a framework upon which you build. So this is a concept in which you then
build on.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, so I was following a different track.
Okay.
30. If you still, 30, passage 30. If you still believe a God created the universe and can do any and all things, then yourself and life today and everything in it is completely arbitrary and uncertain. Does that feel familiar? And is that the self and life you want to live and continue?
It feels very familiar. It's called religion.
And the answer is no.
Okay. Well, we got that cleared up. Passage 31. You did not begin and you were not born. And you are not learning, growing, and developing, or even evolving. You transfigured and became, and you are still transfiguring and becoming today. So what is your finest belief that will completely transfigure yourself and life today so you can be as you truly desire? Are you willing to... turning the page. Become anew again. Consider these questions carefully so we can discuss them more thoroughly later. Passage 32. Instead of changing, overcoming, or transcending your old beliefs and ways, can you not become anew? Of course, but to become truly anew, it is important for you to realize you are not who you've been told you are. You are not who you believe and feel you are, and you are apparently not who you truly want to be. And the same can be said about the universe and world in which you live, for they are also far different than you have ever been told. than you have ever been told. Yes. Passage 33. Several millennia ago, ancient Greeks asked, when God created the universe, what did he use? In response, they reasoned that if God was everything, then obviously he used himself, such that all things today are part of the oneness that is God. But is that really true? Let's look more closely at the world around you. Passage 34. If you deconstruct, say, a rock, you'll discover that rocks are composed of molecules of matter and energy, just as Einstein and all of science predicts. But in addition, you will have data and information about matter and energy gained from deconstructing that rock. If you then deconstruct those molecules, you will discover that the molecules of matter are composed of atoms and energy, and additional data information. Deconstruct the atoms, and you will have particles of matter and energy, and more data information. Deconstruct particles, and you will have energy, and even more data information.
Okay. Anyone want to take over reading? I could use a break.
At this point, we have reached the limits of science that declare the universe is composed of matter and energy, which can be exchanged from one state to another, but cannot be created or destroyed. But wait, if you deconstruct energy, which science says cannot be done, of course, a short time ago, science also claimed that atoms are the smallest particle in the universe and cannot be reduced. So let's continue deconstructing energy, after which you will have only data information. And data information is mind. Passage 36. All things in the universe, including you, are formed from data information mind. But science ignores this and insists that the universe is composed only of matter and energy. And though this is true on some level, actually, just as vapor condenses to water droplets and it rains, data information mind coalesces to packets of information called quanta, and the universe is rained all around.
I'm wondering what the word mind adds to the concept of data information.
You're confusing mind with thinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not.
Okay. So what is adding mind to data information add to the concept?
It gives us something we can talk about.
That we can't talk about when we're just...
Talk about spirit.
So we can't talk about data information the same way as we can once we add mind to that? Is it that mind brings it into more of a
image?
Communion with something else.
Well, yeah, and I want to say personal consciousness. Consciousness. Does mind bring it into consciousness?
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it probably does.
Rather than just data
information. Right. Okay, so just data information is like rocks. But once you add the word mind, you're talking about something more. Awareness.
Information.
Awareness. Consciousness. Bumping. Yeah. Okay. I think I answered the question. Yeah.
Okay. Passage 37.
Of course, data information mind is not thinking or consciousness, nor is it the mind of God. However, as data information mind, the universe and world around you are so plenary that they are as they are and simultaneously are as you are and are aware, as is everyone else as well. I think that one's a mouthful. So, are we suggesting, Roger, here, or have you suggested here, that data information mind is aware? Then on that last line,
it holds and supports the data and information. It's not aware, but like a placeholder.
Well, what I'm specifically asking about is on the last line of that passage. It said, "and are aware."
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that refers back to in that passage.
As you are.
As you perceive it.
As you are and are aware.
Which one are you reading?
On 37, on the last line, there's dot, 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 and are aware. And I'm wondering what that and are aware refers back to.
The mind gets access to you.
So is it not saying the universe and world around you are aware?
Yes, you are aware. Because you act as you are aware, you act.
Okay.
Ah.
Yep. That refers to the you in the previous line.
Uh-huh.
Can you illuminate me?
Simultaneously,
you and everybody
are and are aware.
Yeah.
As is everyone else as well.
So
in other words, it doesn't happen to you.
Yeah.
I'm aware.
You make it.
So now, okay.
Page 44. So that and are aware is referring to me.
And everyone else.
Yes.
And everyone else, not the universe and the world.
Great. That clears that up. Thank you. There was no original creation of the universe by God, nor by a singularity. Both of which are declared to have made us all in the beginning.
One. Made us all one.
All one in the universe. Or in the beginning, sorry. I'll read that again. Both of which are declared to have made us all one in the beginning. The universe reigned uniqueness and individuality. Number 39 passage. You may communion with another and live and function together seemingly as one, but you are not one with all things, and the universe will separate you from all other things, for actually, you can only unite as one with yourself. Number 40,
passage. You unite as one with yourself. Loner body can unite with eternal self.
Yeah, is that one? Yeah. That was my question.
That.
Yes.
Do I understand that correct?
No.
Okay.
You don't understand that correct.
Mm.
If I heard you correctly.
You can only unite as one with yourself.
That's an all-inclusive self.
That's the abiding self?
you keep limiting it again. Keep using these adjectives.
Yeah.
Can't you just use self?
Yes, I can.
That's all-inclusive self.
Okay. I don't think they get it.
And with what can I unite them?
There's puzzled looks on faces.
Yeah.
What?
There's puzzled looks on faces, so they don't get it.
So when you say use all-inclusive self, you're saying all the aspects of self, that personal self and
all the data eternal and
self.
It's totally and, communion.
Yeah. Okay.
Ah,
so then
yeah, right.
I can only okay. unite as one with that selfness.
Yes. Those. In my mind, it's totally communion.
Yeah.
Self.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. But I can't unite as one with you.
No.
I think it said become one, didn't it?
It says unite.
Can only unite.
Okay, unite. Become with one, not relate.
But if we were on a football team together, we would unite as one team.
Not necessarily.
It would have the appearance. Of uniting.
Hopefully we would unite as one team.
It would have the appearance
yeah.
of uniting mm. as a team.
What the hell is that smell over there?
Bug spray.
No wonder it keeps the bugs away.
That's what it work is.
That's the idea.
I guess I'm already in a bad shape because I don't even have any bugs around me.
You smell that bad?
They are used to you.
I already smell bad.
They pick other bodies.
It's a walking toxic dump.
We done with 39? Okay. Passage 40. When scientists declared the universe is expanding, they also said that, obviously, if everything is moving away from every other thing, then at one time, everything existed together in a single state. As an infinitely dense singularity that exploded in a big bang that created the expanding universe. And scientists always blow up a balloon to prove it. Don't you believe what science declares? Passage 41. As you blow up a balloon and every point on the outside of the balloon expands away from every other point, the same is true on the inside, which indicates that an expanding universe expands away from every place on the surface and within the universe, which means that everything is the center of the universe.
Everywhere.
That everywhere is the center of the universe.
Okay, Kathy.
So no matter where you are, that is the center of the universe, not merely the center of your universe, but the center of the whole universe.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing he was trying to talk about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You are the center of the universe.
Your universe. And the universe.
Because every place is the center of the universe.
Passage 42. Isn't it about time you understand your place and role in the universe? We will discuss this a little later, but for now, if you take your mind out of the language of geometry and put it into images, is it quite clear that the universe... It is quite clear that the universe began everywhere
mm-hmm.
and is still beginning everywhere, such that there is no beginning actually, can you expand and extend your mind even further to understand that the universe you know, and science believes it knows, did not begin, it became, and is becoming even today, and so are you.
Nice.
Passage 43, become means to pass from a previous state or condition to take on a different essence or nature and come to be. Life is a constant becoming in that as every moment leads to another moment and every stage of your life, self and life and of the universe leads to the becoming of other stages or becoming again and again. This is a process in which a transfigured new constantly appears. Passage 44. You are continuously becoming, in that as every moment leads to another moment, and every stage of your life, self and life, and of the universe leads to the becoming of other stages, or becoming again and again. This is a process in which a transfigured new constantly appears. Though it is frequently declared, you only have this moment in which to live. This moment will be replaced by a becoming moment, then another, and another, ad infinitum, such that every moment is a different moment, or is a constantly becoming moment. Passage 46. There is no beginning, only a becoming. Therefore, there can be no ending. Ever becoming is the essence and true nature of the universe and of you. Passage 47. In fact, before the universe became, you had a long and undistinguishable life, simply because nothing distinguishable existed. And when the universe became, there was no bang or flash or thunder, for the elements required for noise and light to occur had not yet become available in the universe. Those elements came later when stars lit up and some small amount of matter luminesced or reflected light. In fact, the essential nature of the universe is dark, and 95% of the matter and energy in the universe is dark matter that does not respond to light.
Does it respond to something else?
We don't know.
Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Passage 48. Is it possible for you to consider that the 95% of you and dark matter in the universe is natural and ideal, and only 5% of you and light matter is the basis of your awareness and reality? Mm-hmm. Ain't that awesome? Passage 49. Are you willing to accept the idea that somewhere out there in the dark there is a conventional reality just as clear and vivid as the one you see in the light? This dark matter reality fully supports your conventional, and that this dark matter reality
there's
fully supports
dark reality
fully supports your conventional light reality.
What a neat idea.
Passage 50, look around you. Your conventional light reality has formed attributes you can see and feel and know as they are, while your dark matter, dark reality, has formed attributes you can only perceive and sense and know as you are. Boy, isn't that an interesting notion.
Is that so, all new to you guys?
Hmm?
95.5, is that all new to you guys?
That's...
Oh, that's you. Oh. Okay.
No, but no, he's putting it together here in a way that...
You says, have to get him to read 50 correctly first. You can't discuss it until he reads it right.
Okay, read it again.
Do again, please.
Look around you. Your conventional light reality has formed attributes you can see and feel and know as they are, while your dark reality has formed attributes you can only perceive and sense and know as you are. So if we're, since we are, as a universe, each of us is 95% dark, then this suggests that we can know it as we are.
And commune with it.
What did you say?
And commune with it.
He says you can only perceive and sense. So it's like you can't know it. It says, and know as you are.
Yeah, we can, it's, that we can perceive and sense the attributes.
Only perceive and sense.
Yeah. And there, and then, but since we are 95% dark as well, and since the universe is as I am, then I will know the dark as I am.
Exactly. The stuff you can't know, you can know.
Because it's me.
Huh?
Because it's me. Number 51, the passage. Your personal self and life is your reality. Your eternal self and life is your realization and your emergent, resplendent, illuminated self and life, which is emergent life, is your divine realm. If you are living without a full realization of yourself and life today, or are living without a full realization of yourself and life today, or struggling to live as a resplendent, illuminating being, free of these realizations in a realm of your own becoming, understand the way of your resplendent self passes through your emergent, eternal self. Without which, there can be no emergent, resplendent self. So let's begin there, with your eternal self.
My God, that's a mouthful.
Just sum up everything.
Go through that even, you know, declaration statement at a time. Your personal self and life is your reality. Declaration.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah.
Your eternal self and life is your realization. Mm-hmm. Declaration. Mm-hmm. Your emergent, resplendent, illuminated self and life, which is emergent life, is your divine realm. if you are living without a full realization of yourself in life today, or struggling to live as a resplendent, illuminated being, free of these realizations in a realm of your own becoming, understand that the way to your resplendent self passes through your emergent eternal self, without which there can be no emergent resplendent self. So let's begin there with your eternal self.
Angela would like this one.
You know what's that?
Angela would like this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't understand it.
You think something was said there, but you don't quite get it. Yeah.
I just wonder how I would be struggling to live as a resplendent, illuminated being, free of these realizations. How would I even know about resplendent, illuminated being without talking about eternal self and personal self? So is this saying, if you are living without full realization of yourself and life, or struggling to live as a resplendent, illuminated being, free of these realizations. So I'm trying to shortcut to the top. If I'm doing that, understand that the way to my resplendent, I can't do that. The way to my resplendent self passes through my emergent eternal self. That's basically what it's saying, right? Can't go directly to resplendent self without going through emergent eternal self. It sounds so cause and effect-y the way I'm saying that.
Just because you walk through a door, does that mean that the door caused?
No, you're right.
You're walking through?
Right. Mm. Right. Your resplendent self passes through your emergent eternal self. Okay.
But is emergent eternal self a step to resplendent illuminating?
That's what I'm trying to be careful of, is not to make it this plus that equals that.
Yeah.
The results.
Me too.
I'm
not clear on that.
But passes through your emergent. Imagine my emergent eternal self is a doorway, and the resplendent, the understanding my resplendent.
The key word is emergent.
Emergent.
Mm-hmm.
Passes through my emergent eternal self.
So eternal self is,
okay, I get it.
Is a constituent then?
Why don't you explain it to Simone, since she doesn't seem to get it?
he nodded. So, I just said eternal self is a constituent of the resplendent self.
Emergent eternal self. Eternal self is emergent.
And is a constituent.
Okay.
Are
we saying the same thing?
I think so. Understand that the way to you, way to your resplendent self passes through your emergent eternal self. So emergent eternal self is the constituent of resplendent self.
Okay then.
You won't.
So